KFCF in Fresno and online at kpfa.org.
Thank you. Gracias.
Good morning. Welcome to a special public forum on KPFA in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm your host, Mitch Jezerich, and over these next few weeks at this hour, we are opening up the airwaves to you all across the state of California to hear your thoughts on the state of the world, the state of the country, and the state of your community. Today we're going to talk about the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who died this morning at the age of 84, from being a top aide to the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., to two runs for president, to leading the Rainbow Push Coalition. Jesse Jackson was a conduit in ushering in a multicultural America whose vision of people living peacefully in a just and diverse world is still being put to the test today. Today, I want your thoughts on the life and legacy of Jesse Jackson, as well as what is happening to this dream of living in a multicultural world. That's next, after these headline news.
I'm Max Pringle with these headlines. Civil rights leader and former presidential candidate Jesse Jackson has died. He was 84. Jackson was a veteran of the civil rights movement of the 1960s and championed economic and political justice for decades. Haya Panjwani has more.
Jackson was a protege of Reverend Martin Luther King and became a leader of the civil rights movement for decades after King's assassination in 1968. A two-time presidential candidate, Jackson led a lifetime of political crusades. He advocated for the poor and underrepresented on issues from voting rights and job opportunities to education and health care. Jackson spoke at a Milwaukee rally in January 2015.
Dr. King would be so proud of you today.
Yes.
Here you stand in the cold, multiracial, multicultural, employed, unemployed, because justice transcends race.
His family confirmed he died Tuesday. I'm Haya Panjwani.
The Department of Homeland Security remains partially shut down after lawmakers in the White House failed to reach a compromise over the holiday weekend to fund it. That means that TSA agents are still working without pay this week, among other issues. Democratic lawmakers are holding out funding for the agency over oversight of federal immigration officers in light of immigration officers killing two Minneapolis protesters last month. A partial government shutdown began Saturday after congressional Democrats and President Trump's team failed to reach a deal on legislation to fund the department through September. A federal judge has ruled that Immigration and Customs Enforcement cannot re-detain Kilmar Abrego Garcia because of a 90-day detention period that has expired, and the government has no viable plan for deporting him. The Salvadoran national's case has become a focal point in the immigration debate after he was mistakenly deported to his home country last year. Since his return, he's been fighting a second deportation to a series of African countries proposed by Department of Homeland Security officials. Abrego Garcia has an American wife and child and has lived in Maryland for years, but he immigrated to the U.S. unlawfully as a teenager. A rights group says drone strikes hit a busy market in Sudan's Kordofan region, killing at least 28 people. The group emergency lawyer said the strike hit Sundri in North Kordofan on Sunday. The group said the number of casualties was likely to rise and demanded a halt to strikes. The fighting between the Rapid Support Forces and the Sudanese military erupted into a full-blown civil war across the country in 2023. The World Health Organization says at least 40,000 people have been killed, although rights groups say that total is likely far higher, and 12 million have been displaced, creating the world's worst humanitarian crisis. The UN Human Rights Office issued a report on Friday saying that more than 6,000 people were killed in over 3 days when the RSF and allied Arab militias unleashed what it called a wave of intense violence, shocking in its scale and brutality, in Sudan's Darfur region in late October. The UN says the RSF's offensive to capture the city of El Fasher that used to be a military stronghold in late October included widespread atrocities that amounted to war crimes and possible crimes against humanity. Warner Brothers Discovery is briefly reopening takeover talks with Skydance-owned Paramount to hear the company's best and final offer while the Hollywood giant continues to back the studio and streaming deal it struck with Netflix. In a regulatory filing today, Warner said that Netflix had granted it a waiver to open discussions with Paramount for 7 days. Paramount now has until February 23rd to negotiate a possible transaction. But in the meantime, Warner's board is still recommending shareholders support for its proposed merger with Netflix. A special meeting is now scheduled for Friday, March 20th, to hold a vote on that deal. Iranian State TV says the latest round of nuclear talks with the U.S. ended after almost 3 hours today. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner are in Geneva today to meet with Iranian diplomats for discussions on that country's nuclear program. As Karen Chamos reports, the talks came amid heightened tensions between the two countries.
Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has met with UN Nuclear Watchdog Chief Rafael Grossi in Geneva before a second round of negotiations between the U.S. and Iran. Oman is hosting U.S.-Iran talks in Geneva on Tuesday. The talks come after President Trump moved another aircraft carrier to the region. Secretary of State Marco Rubio said it's too early to tell if the talks will amount to any concrete changes.
They'll have meetings. We'll see what happens. We're hopeful there's a deal.
Meanwhile, Iranian State TV reported that Iran launched a drill in the maritime area around Iran on Monday for the second time in weeks. State TV said it was a drill testing Iran's intelligence and operational capabilities in the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, and the Oman Sea. I'm Karen Chamas.
Meanwhile, U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and Trump son-in-law Jared Kushner are also holding peace talks with Russian and Ukrainian officials in Geneva to try to bring that conflict to an end. William Denslow has more.
Ahead of these latest round of peace talks, Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky certainly in a bullish mood, saying that he wants to see the US provide security guarantees for at least 20 years. That longer than has reportedly been tabled. He also, on the issue of elections, has pushed back at the alleged deadline set by the Trump administration of May. Zelensky says that at least 2 months will be required to get the country ready after a ceasefire comes into effect. Zelensky also speaking strongly on the issue of sanctions, saying there are still untapped areas that need to be put more pressure on as far as Russia is concerned, areas such as nuclear power to really hurt the purse strings of Moscow going forward. William Denslow, Brussels.
Immigrant rights advocates say hospitalized immigration detainees are often prevented from contact with loved ones, attorneys, and others. Suzanne Potter has more.
According to reporting from KFF Health News, hospitals often defer to ICE and use blackout procedures normally reserved for criminal defendants, even though immigration violations are a civil matter. Attorney Viridiana Chaboya with the Immigrant Defenders Law Center says this was the case with her client Julio Cesar Pena, who was picked up by ICE. He has terminal kidney disease, had a mini stroke, and landed in the hospital.
Mr. Pena was not allowed to tell us where he was. He was instructed to avoid talking about his location and was warned that if he so much as hinted as to his location, then he would be barred from calling either his family or his attorney.
Hospitals say they are trying to protect the safety and privacy of patients, staff, and law enforcement officials. ICE declined to comment, but its own guidelines say people in custody should be given access to a telephone, visits from family and friends, and private consultation with legal counsel. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
The trial has started for the father of a teenager accused of killing 2 students and 2 teachers at a Georgia high school in 2024. Lawyers gave opening statements Monday in the case against Colin Gray. Prosecutors say Gray gave his son Colt access to a gun and ammunition despite warning signs his son was troubled. He bought the gun for the boy as a birthday present and allowed him to keep it in his room. They think that decision led to the four deaths at Apalachee High School. Investigators say the 14-year-old planned the attack and brought a rifle in his backpack. Gray's attorney says his client wasn't told about the planning and timing of the shooting and shouldn't be held criminally responsible. The trial is being held in Winder, where the shooting happened, with jurors from nearby Hall County. Nurses affiliated with the California Nurses Association have called a one-day strike for tomorrow at the Marin Health Medical Center in Greenbrae. The strike is to protest what nurses say is the hospital's refusal to deal with nurses' concerns on nurse retention, patient care, staffing levels, and other issues. The sides have been negotiating a new contract since last June. And those are some of the headlines. I'm Max Pringle for KPFA.
Hello, and welcome to a special broadcast of a public forum, which we want to hear from you about this world and country we live in during these volatile times. I'm your host, Mitch Jezerich, and I'll be with you for the next 2.5 weeks at this time as we talk to each other about what's going on. This is a special public forum that is airing across the state of California on community radio stations KPFA in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and KPFK in Los Angeles. This is an opportunity not only to express your views, which it is, but also an opportunity to talk to each other across the state. Every day I will present an issue to focus on. I'll give you some of my own thoughts at the very top, but I'll try not to go on too long with these. My goal is to limit my own thoughts to about 5 to 8 minutes each morning for the next 2.5 weeks, and then open up our phone lines and emails to you. This is a public forum, and I want to encourage you, whether if you have called into this radio station many times over the years, or perhaps only a few times, or perhaps maybe even never, you're all welcome to participate. All are welcomed. I will give everyone at least 2 minutes to have their say. I may or may not engage with you or ask you questions during that time. If I do interject during your time, I will be mindful about that when it comes to the time limit. I don't plan to enforce these rules with an iron fist, but we need to keep things going and make sure that we have space for everyone who wants to be involved, which I hope will be you. My plan was to begin today by focusing on what happened in Minnesota, where federal immigration agents were employed en masse as though they were soldiers to enforce President Donald Trump's immigration policies. In the process of doing that, they clashed violently with the people of Minneapolis and St. Paul. It was really one of the most remarkable things that I have seen domestically. And I think it's fair to say that the people of Minnesota won that battle as though it was an actual battle in a larger war. And maybe it is, I don't know. We'll talk about this in the days to come. But it seems as though, I think we can say, Minnesota won that battle as the federal government seemingly backed off a bit. Not all the way, but a bit. They won the battle. I don't know about the war, but the battle. Perhaps it's the closest thing I've seen to what kind of felt like a civil war in my lifetime. Again, it's not over. The budget for these operations has grown astronomically, and it is likely, perhaps it'll look different, but it is likely that many more mass federal agents are coming to a community near all of us in the days ahead. That was my plan of what we were going to talk about today, and we are going to talk about that, but tomorrow. Because today, I had to change course this morning and move this topic to tomorrow, because when I woke up and I looked at the news, I saw this morning that the Reverend Jesse Jackson had died at the age of 84. And I actually think a conversation about Jesse Jackson is very much in line of what we are experiencing today. Because the Reverend Jesse Jackson was an incredible progressive force in this country during my lifetime. Probably maybe the most powerful force in my lifetime. Now, he was there with Martin Luther King Jr. when MLK was assassinated. He cut his teeth in the civil rights movement. And then in my lifetime, he ushered in this movement of multiculturalism in this country. He wasn't the only one, but perhaps he was the most loudest prominent voice, especially during his two presidential runs for the Democratic nominee in 1984 and 1988. Jesse Jackson was giving voice to a new generation of Americans that in the mainstream would look different than previous generations. His Rainbow Push coalition was profound. This coalition was about the inclusion of practically all marginalized people, and he didn't leave out many people when he talked about who all these people were who made up this Rainbow Coalition. It's something that I think today is more commonplace, but he was doing this in the 1980s and the 1990s when it was not, and he was doing it with a big platform. I think we all have our own, personal memories or stories around Jesse Jackson. He could be a controversial figure too, no doubt. But for me, when I was a young man, in my late teens, early 20s, and I was a young disabled man, I grew up with a disability. He was the first one and only one for a very long time that when he talked about the inclusion of many different kinds of people, and that's what he did, and obviously he talked about black people, white people, Latinos, immigrants, he talked about gays and lesbians in the 1980s, including at the Democratic Convention of 1984, which was something that was not widely done at the time. But for me, on a personal note, he also always, as he listed the different people that were a part of his coalition, he would name disabled people, which for me, as a young guy, was important. Especially in this time, I hear this list of people, you'd never hear disabled people mentioned, but he did. In fact, for the longest time, you just never heard disabled people mentioned at all. But again, he did, and he did it on the biggest stage. And as a young person, for me, that meant something. It was formative. Because it let me know what team I was on. And who I wanted to be with. And that's just me on a very small scale. He did this for a lot of folks from a lot of different backgrounds, from a lot of different communities. And that's why I say this is somebody who has helped in usher a new multicultural America in my lifetime. What Jesse Jackson was pushing for in the 1980s and 90s would become much more mainstream, let's say, in the last 20 years. But as this has become more mainstream, the notion of multiculturalism, so has the backlash against it. It is very clear to me that the struggle over American life today is one that is centered on multiculturalism and diversity. The Make America Great Again movement is about returning to a society, a heteronormative, male-dominant, white-centric worldview that dominated the mainstream before Jesse Jackson. In the long run, this won't win, because you can't turn the clock back. The country has already changed. It is multicultural, and there's nothing you can do that's going to stop that. But this change is coming through struggle, and this is definitely, I think, perhaps what we're experiencing right now, it's a huge force against multiculturalism. It's in the White House. It controls government. It controls all of it. So it might sound audacious to say it, but I think this is sort of its last stand before the dam truly breaks. And I think Jesse Jackson is a really important figure, not just historically, not just for how influential he was to me and many, 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 many other people in the 80s and 90s. But I think his legacy is actually at the heart of what the struggle is about today. And that's why I think it's important we talk about it. So this morning, I do want your thoughts. Your thoughts about Jesse Jackson, about his legacy, and about your thoughts of what it means to live in a multicultural world in 2026 under a government that seems hell-bent to reverse these trends of multiculturalism. Now, I'm about to give you several phone numbers here, and I want to be clear about everything. First, we are doing this public forum for the next 2.5 weeks at this time, Monday through Thursdays, at 10 a.m. during this radio station's winter fun drive. I have come back to this radio station to do this special series of forums with you to hear from you, and also in an effort to try to raise funds for this very important historic radio station in which somebody like Jesse Jackson always had voice on, and he would make time for. It's an important radio station, and one that faces a very important fund drive as I speak to you right now, because I know from my home radio station, KPFA in Berkeley, its last fund drive, the end of the year drive, it came up significantly short in its overall goal. And I've always said, that happens. It does happen. And when it happens, we'll make it through. We've got lots of folks who are dedicated to this radio station, myself included. I'm no longer a paid employee. A lot of people who dedicate their life work and their time and their effort to this radio station because it's part of a community that we're all a part of. And we know how to do a little more with a little less. We can do it. But it is not sustainable. And whenever we do come up significantly short in a drive like we did the last one, it's really important that doesn't happen again this time. So, I'm not selling you anything. No bells or whistles. I'm asking you, if you get to go on the air, I'm asking you, even if you don't get to go on the air, and you don't have to pledge to be able to get on the air, it's not what this is, but I am asking you for your support by calling up your radio station and pledging what you can. For KPFA listeners in the Bay Area and for KFCF listeners in the Central Valley, the phone number you're going to call to pledge, I'll give the number to call in to get on the air in a minute, but to make a donation is 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732, and online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, listening to KPFK in Los Angeles, the number that you're going to call is 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735, and online at kpfk.org. One of our very own listeners, Galen in San Francisco, is putting up $1,008 as a challenge this hour to support this effort. If we could raise that $1,008, Galen will throw that in, and that will mean $2,1600 for the hour. That's a good start, friends. It's an opportunity for you to double your donation. Again, for KPFA and KFCF, 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, and online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, KPFK in Los Angeles, 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. Okay, now I'm going to give you the phone number. Maybe I should have done this first. This might be a little bit messy as we give me a couple days to kind of get this all. You know, I've been out of work. You know, it was hard to wake up this morning. So give me a couple days to get this. Maybe I should have given out this phone number a little bit earlier to get on air. But we do want to hear from you. You can also send me an email to call in and to get on air. The phone number is 1-800-958-9008. 1-800-958-9008. That's the phone number. Your comments about Jesse Jackson his legacy, multiculturalism in 2026, and what's happening in the world today. 1-800-958-9008. That's the phone number to get on air. You can also send me a note. I ask that you keep it to just a few lines because I'm juggling a lot here as we are live. But send me a note at forum, because this is a public forum. So it's forum@kpfa.org. Forum, F-O-R-U-M, at kpfa.org. And I'll try to get your comment. I'll try to read your comment on air. Well, as we attempt to line up calls at 1-800-958-9008, I do want to play a clip of what I'm talking about Jesse Jackson. And this is in 1984. And it's remarkable to go listen to his speeches in the 80s because it's today some of the things that are said are commonplace, but they weren't in 1984. Not at a Democratic Party convention, which is about as mainstream as you can get. And he was talking about gays and lesbians. He was talking about disabled, but he was talking about everyone. And it was remarkable. So this is Jesse Jackson. And when the convention was in San Francisco in 1984.
Thank you. And that was Jesse. Was that just, did nobody hear Jesse Jackson there? You know, we might have had some technical issues here. Oh my goodness. Friends, you will have to forgive me, friends, for that. I just realized we had a technical issue. We're doing something new here, and so I hope you enjoyed that music. We just played a great clip from Jesse Jackson. Anyways, as I was saying live. And again, Jesse Jackson did die today at the age of 84. Let's go to our first caller. Again, we are taking calls this hour. The number, if you want to get on air, is 1-800-958-9008. 1-800-958-9008. That's the number to get on air. You can also email me at forum@kpfa.org. Well, we still had a music break to help me line up some listeners. We do have some lines open, so give us a call at 1-800-958-9008. Let's first go to Lisa in San Francisco. Good morning to you, Lisa. You're on the air.
Good morning. I believe it's 2 minutes that I'm being allowed. Is that correct?
Well, we'll at least, Lisa.
Okay.
At least 2 minutes.
All right. I'm a KPFA listener, and I really think that we are confronting fascism in the United States right now, and we cannot confront it with having KPFA news sound more like Associated Press. And also,
we do kind of want to keep this focused.
Please. Let me finish, please. I understand, yes, but let me finish, please, because this is an open line, right, for people.
And well, on topic.
I want to talk about, on topic is what we're facing right now, and what I'm trying to express to my fellow listeners, if you would allow me, is that also.
But you will allow me, Lisa. I will give you a little bit Lisa, I'll give you a little bit of space here. But I do want to say this right here. I just can't have this be a space where people are going after other people on this radio station, right? That's not what this topic is. So
I'm expressing my views regarding news, the news program as a listener. And also,
are you talking about the KPFA news? Is that what you're making your topic about? Or are you talking about news in general?
My topic has to do, if you would allow me, instead of censoring me, I would really, and interrupting me, which as a host is not very nice to do, actually, to a listener. I also want to express my discontent, my severe discontent, with the so-called settlement bylaws. There's no provision. In fact, it's a violation of Article 17 of our 2003 bylaws to be imposing this without any kind of a referendum vote, especially if member rights, voting rights are going to be affected. And believe me, they will be affected because it will be a winner-take-all system. This so-called national vote for a PMB and the destroying the LSB powers and duties as such and converting us into basically just outreach and fundraising instead of having any kind of governance, which it was one of the defining examples of Pacifica as a listener-sponsored and staff-supported station. In fact, there was a summary judgment by the judge that ruled that the attempt to amend the bylaws was basically failed. And because the staff voted against it, and Article 17 states very clearly that if it's going to be affecting one member class over another, then it needs to be rejected, which it was by the summary judgment. However,
so Lisa, I'm going to give you 30 more seconds to say. Now, Lisa, hold on a second. Okay. Hold on a second. I'm giving you your time, and you're going to get 30 more seconds to keep saying whatever you want to say for the next 30 seconds, and that's fine because that's the time that I've said you'd have at least 2 minutes. But I do want to point out that we were trying to talk about something very different, and I did say that I want that these we do need to be on topic, and you're taking these things in very different directions. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds, but I do want to give you an opportunity if you had anything to say about what we were talking about concerning the death of Jesse Jackson, a multiculturalism world in 2026, that you have about 30 seconds to make that happen.
30 seconds. I'm going to tell you, we cannot confront the issues that Jesse Jackson fought for as well. And we cannot confront the issues of fascism with having the destruction of Pacifica Network by a group of people who are creating settlements among themselves to impose upon an anti-democratic system and the purging of LSP members who oppose anti-democratic governance, which is the way that things have been going on in KPFA and Pacifica for a while now. So we cannot confront all of that and fight for our rights and fight for the rights of all workers and fight for a general strike to defeat fascism with the KPFA that we have right now. And we need
all right, to Lisa, there you go. You got your say, and Lisa, we're gonna let you go, Lisa. And I thank you for your call, and I thank you for calling in. We do try to keep these things. You know, if this was a show that was about, and maybe there should be a show about the bylaws and governance of Pacifica, but that's not what this is today. That's not what this is right now. And that's kind of the point I was trying to make there. But I appreciate the call. We're gonna move on to Peter in Berkeley. Good morning, Peter. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning. I grew up in Berkeley, born in San Francisco. I attended San Francisco State, was a part of the San Francisco State strike back in the late 60s. And I think I've got a good progressive perspective. My parents were communists, and God bless their souls. But the thing that I think is really important to bear in mind is that we're just not affected with racism. We are still poisoned by and affected by white supremacy. And our current president makes that quite clear. When he puts a tape of apes on and compares them to the Obamas, thank goodness for KPFA. I can't give very much, but I'm going to give something. And I appreciate all the folks who contribute to KPFA. Thank you very much.
And I appreciate it, too. And I do want to encourage people to donate to their home radio station. Of course, this is a public forum that's airing on KPFA in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and KPFK in Los Angeles. To make a donation, the number for KPFA is 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, and online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, listening to KPFK in Los Angeles, the number is 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735, and online at kpfk.org. To get on air, we do have some lines that are open. The number is 1-800-958-9008, 1-800-958-9008. Let's next go to Southern California, where we're joined by Laverne in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Laverne. You're on the air.
Good morning, and it's so good to hear your melodious voice back on the air, Mitch. I appreciate it. And apologies.
I'm glad someone feels that way. I'm glad someone feels that way, Laverne. Thank you.
Yes, many, many. And apologies to the family of Jesse Jackson. And I still remember the time when I first saw him introducing the Rainbow Coalition. He had his beautiful family standing there, all these lovely children standing there on the stage, just graciously acknowledging America as multicultural. It's cracking me up just thinking about it. Wonderful memory. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me think, Laverne. I remember seeing him speak at a rally. I was in college at the time at San Francisco State University. I remember going down to downtown at Civic Center. I think there was a rally probably against, was it Proposition 187, the anti-immigrant proposition that Californians passed by over 60%. Supreme Court eventually, the California State Supreme Court ruled it was unconstitutional. It's really the first guy, it's kind of like the first, it was really the first anti-immigrant law, and this is in the 90s, backed by Republican Governor Pete Wilson at the time, that kind of predated everything that would come after. And I also think that was a reaction to multiculturalism, that the old guard of California was trying to harken back to a different era as California was changing the way it looked. It was becoming more diverse. And what we saw out of Prop 187 was people get galvanized, people get organized. And it turned, California used to be a red state. I mean, this is where Nixon and Reagan are from. We had governors like Duke Majan and Pete Wilson. And it turned it to one of the bluest states, most democratic states in the entire country, and it has been for the past 20 years. I think what happened in California between kind of the early 90s to today predates what's happening in the rest of the country. And I think that's what's happening right now nationally. And I think sort of our Prop 187 moment is being replicated nationally. And I do think in the long run, they lose, the people that are trying to stop the clock. They lose because you can't stop the clock. You always lose. But I think that's what's going on here. And I remember going to a rally in which Jesse Jackson spoke out against Prop 187 before people voted on it. And I remember just being so moved. I remember taking Muni back to my apartment near the university, and just it was important to me. It was formative to me. And again, as a disabled person, I definitely noticed that we were included when he talked about multiculturalism, and that really mattered. Let's stay in Southern California. Megan, good morning, Megan. You're on the air.
Good morning. I am very old. I am older than Jesse Jackson was. I remember all of the history that you encountered. I'm an old white lady, and I so loved his inclusiveness. I have, you know, a foot in the Jewish community, not Netanyahu's community, a foot in the Black community. And so his inclusiveness meant the world to me, and I am grateful for his loss, and I mourn his passing. Thank you.
All right, Macon. Thank you very much from Los Angeles, listening to, I imagine, KPFK in Los Angeles. This is a public forum on listener-sponsored KPFA in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, and KPFK in Los Angeles. And we're doing this forum, we're going to be doing this for the next couple of weeks, each day at this hour, in which we're handing over our airwaves to you. We do like the comments to be kind of, I mean, we just can't talk about anything, and it's not a free, it's not experimental radio. We do like it to be focused and try to be generous in where we go. But we do open these airwaves to you, and we're asking you to participate this day in which Jesse Jackson passed away at the age of 84. The phone number to get on air is 1-800-958-9008. 1-800-958-9008. We are also doing this during a time of our fund drive for all of these radio stations. This is the time of year we come to you. We ask for a financial contribution to help keep this radio station on the air. We ask that you donate what you can to support this radio station according to what you can, but as generously as you can as well. For listeners to KPFA in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno, the number to make that donation is 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, and online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, the number is 818-958. Let me pull this. So, you know, now I realize I have too many numbers at my disposal in top of my head. For the number in KPFK in Los Angeles, 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. That's where you donate. Let's next go to Sarah in Oakland. Good morning, Sarah. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mitch Jezerich. I've heard you for years and never called in, but I have to say that my
I have so much appreciation for your civility and how you handled an extremely painful call. Now, I was listening as I was showering, and my heart elevation rate was just going through the roof. And I want you to know, you handled it so beautifully. You were way, way kinder than many people would have been. So I appreciate you and Jesse Jackson and Ron Dellums, and I love KPFA. And I will take your beautiful gold-plated civility, Miss Jesuits, any day. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Again, the number, you know, I want to know what people think about this world we're living in today, friends. And thank you. Thank you. That's kind of you, Sarah. And it's okay. I mean, we're good for all the calls. I just have to keep things focused, right? It is the job of the radio host. And maybe being too kind or too patient is not a good way, actually, of doing that. But we are who we are. And I do want to know what people think about this world we're living in today. It's a little bit messy. It's the first day, friends, of trying to do this. We're having some technical problems and stuff, but we do have some more callers on the line. So let's get to them. Let's go to Jay in Santa Ana. Good morning, Jay. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay, Jay. How are you?
good. Well, you know, saddened by obviously Mr. Jackson's passing. You know, I'm over the age of 50 years old, so I remember him quite well throughout the 80s, 90s, 2000s. One thing I remember, and I'm not at all trying to be prejudiced in any way, shape, or form by saying this, but what stood out to me is how much Jesse Jackson stood for education and for having people really, you know, sadly enough, like I said, I'm not at all trying to be prejudiced in stating this. This is his statement that Ebonics was not a language, that he stated to everybody in America that English is English. My ex-wife was an English teacher and used to harp on me consistently in regards to that. And I just kind of always, it stood out in my mind that this man who spoke like his predecessors, Martin Luther King and many others, in an articulate way, was a great orator. And you could even see that in, you know, many other of the leaders that we've had since then. But, you know, to
so,
me,
so Jay, you've
like
really gone to the So Jay, you've really gone to the controversy of Jesse Jackson. I mean, that was very controversial.
But in a good way, because absolutely, it was very controversial. I think a lot of people were like, "What are you trying to do to our community by saying that?" And I've lived all across the country, and I understand that there are dialects, obviously, of the English language. You know, but the fact that this man would state this, you know, and do such in an inarticulate way, I just found that as one of the things that stood out to me growing up, is that, like, yes, you know, these are things that we should try to learn and better advance our society. I mean, when I, you know, again, I'm not a perfect person, but I know that we've fallen far from what our ancestors have been and how they were educated. I mean, I would tell people, you know, take some time, study some history, listen to some speeches and, you know, comments that were made by many leaders throughout the United States and other nations, and they speak much better than we do today, whether it's in music, art, you know, or just regular conversation. I think, you know, the scrolling and technology has kind of taken away from that. So I would just kind of take my two cents, and we need to push people. Not, again, it's not somebody's education. This man was speaking directly of, don't tell us we can't learn this language. You know, don't tell us we can't do these things. And he said basically that we have to do them better than how people are trying to just, you know, let it go by the wayside. So that's just my two cents. And I personally think he was a great man. And I think there's many other people who are inspired by him as well.
All right, Jay. Appreciate your call. Thank you. And yeah, that was one of the more controversial things that, he said about speaking English. It's funny. I mean, language is always an interesting thing. I am a lover of language myself. I am one who believes language changes and it's not created by, I mean, as I could tell you a test by the number of people who write to me about my abuse of the language. I could tell you, not everyone agrees with me on this, but I am a believer that language does change, and it is a very local thing, and it comes from the people who speak it, not from actual the rule books. So it's sort of, yeah, language. Language is always a complicated and interesting thing. Let's go next to Wes in Concord. Good morning, Wes.
Man, I just want to say right off, you handled that earlier caller very diplomatically. And also, just that I had a personal chance to meet Jesse Jack back when I was working in Berkeley with Carolina Marks with the World Wall for Peace. And Jesse came out, and although I don't remember specifically talking to him, I remember meeting him and that I knew the significance of it. Kind of like when I met you by chance, it was different. And I recognized your voice one time out on vacation, and I met you for the first time. So I just want to say it's also echo the other caller that said it's good to hear your voice on the radio again. And I forgot to put my timer on for my 2 minutes, but I don't want to overstate the importance of the death of a man like this that was on equal parlance, I think, with Martin Luther King and other great Americans that, oh my God, we need in these days of, you know who, the new F word in charge. Okay, Mitch, thanks for letting me have this time.
All right, Wes, appreciate your call, Wes in Concord. Let's next go to San Jose, where we're joined by Forrest. Good morning, Forrest. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mitch. Let me begin with a housekeeping comment that I, too, thought you handled that difficult call with Lisa very well. The right balance of respecting
well,
her.
I don't want to get too focused on that. Lisa, you know, Lisa had a lot to say, and it was a good wake-up call.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've been in a deep slumber. I'll give you your moment here. Forrest, but you know, I've been in a deep slumber in my unemployment here in the last few months, and it was a good little zinger, you know, a good wake up call, and I appreciate it. I appreciate it with Lisa for the first call in this new format with technical problems and everything, and you know, it wouldn't be Pacifica Radio if somebody just didn't call up and have a real issue with the governance of internal Pacifica. I don't know what's more KPFA or KPFK or KPFB than that. So the way I see Lisa's call was, it was this great reintroduction back to this community that I have so loved for many years. All right, back to you.
Excellent.
Back to you,
excellent.
Forrest. You're on the air.
Right. And a little bit more on that, and then I want to get to Jesse Jackson. But you mentioned the possibility of having a future program on the internal politics of KPFA and Pacifica. And I, for one, would really value a call-in program like this where people can lay out different concerns and praises that people have for KPFA and Pacifica. I just feel like there's all this stuff going on, and I understand pieces of it, but a program on that I would find very valuable. Getting back to Jesse Jackson, this morning I've become aware that I greatly underappreciated him. Your comments about how much he meant to you, and then the Bernie Sanders quote, where Bernie Sanders is American hero to me, broke through all kinds of things. And for him to say that Jesse Jackson was one of the most important American leaders of the last 100 years, That really impressed me. And the clips and stuff that I've heard, and this whole thing of seeing how he was the first one, or early person, way before most of us, to focus on how important multiculturalism is. And I think we are in that battle. And I too see, I think, I'm hoping that this is their last furious backlash before we move into a future of multiculturalism.
I mean, that's I think that's what this, a lot of, I mean, you look, there's also economics, there's class, so there's a lot of issues, and it's not like one or the other. But I do, right. I know Trump supporters, I have Trump supporters in my family, and I do see what's going on, and I do see where they're coming from, and they want to return back to a time when they were sort of, their perspective was dominant in society, and... Right. And I think that's a lot at what's at the heart here. And but we are moving into a multicultural. We already are in. And I don't know if it'll be the last throws, but I think what happened in California is now happening in the rest of the country. So, Forrest, appreciate your call. Friends, want to let you know we're still about $400 away from making that challenge. You can give us a call at 1-800. This is for KPFA and KFCF listeners. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. And online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. And online at kpfk.org. Going to go to one last caller. Hey, you're going to forgive me, but because we're friends, you're going to allow me to shorten your time because we can get you on again in the future. But we're almost at the hour, but I want to give you at least 1 minute. So good morning, Haiti.
Good morning, Rich. I don't have much to say, except I am so glad to hear your voice again and realized how much I and probably everybody else misses you. I'll just say briefly, since I came from Vienna, Austria, and I was a very small child, of course, then, but the times then, through my parents' eyes, were not so different as to what is happening here now, and I find it very ominous, and I just want to encourage all of us who believe in a democratic society to stay on top of it, to not stop fighting. Otherwise, we'll end up in a very, very scary position. So thank you for making that available to a wide audience, Mitch. It's great to hear your voice. I hope you're well and continue to be so. Thank you for coming back.
Well, thank you, Haiti. And thank you. It's good to hear your voice. We've enjoyed our conversations. And I'm sure we'll hear from you again, I hope, over these next couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks, in which I'll be with you at 10 a.m. It's a public forum. Today we had some technical issues, and I think I'm still experiencing technical issues. It's the first day of this run. We'll be doing it again tomorrow. I promise to have things under control when we get back to it next week, or tomorrow. I'll have it under control. What day is it anyways? Friends, we're still trying to make this challenge of $1,008 down to our final minute. I want to apologize to Harold in Santa Barbara and Lisa in Oakland. We're just out of time, but we do have several more days ahead, which we'll try to get to you. So try to call in tomorrow or the next day. But I do want to ask our friends who are listening to support our efforts here and raise a little bit of money for this historic radio station. First, for KPFA and KFCF, the phone number you're going to call is 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, and online at kpfa.org. In Southern California, the number you're going to call for KPFK in Los Angeles is 818-985-5735, 818-985-5735. And online at kpfk.org. I'm Mitch Jezerich. Tomorrow we'll talk about ICE and federal immigration agents. Till then, be well.
This is 94.1 KPFA, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online everywhere at kpfa.org.